Hallelujah. Who's ready? Who's ready? Let's just close our eyes. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your marvelous presence. Lord, we are hungry for more of you. And Lord, I experience a marvelous presence. I pray in the name of Jesus that you'll just come and fill this place, fill the atmosphere. Come and change your people from glory to glory. And Lord, we promise whatever happens in this place this morning that you will get the glory in Jesus' name. Thank you that you are the healer, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. We thank you, Lord, that we can stand in awe of you this morning. What a privilege. What a privilege it is. And I pray in the name of Jesus that this word shall transform your people in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. I want you to tell somebody that today is your day for a miracle. I believe that God's got a miracle with your name on it. Amen. Can I say this again? I believe that God's got a miracle with your name on it. And this morning, we're gonna see what God wants to do. I quickly want to tell you, the Bible says in the book of Zechariah, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit. So it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by his spirit. I've looked at the life of Jesus, his ministry, and I love the ministry of Jesus, because the ministry of Jesus consists of miracles. Amen. And I have studied God, and I've seen that there's nothing normal about God. There's nothing ordinary about God. He's extraordinary. Who understands that this morning? People want to see miracles happen from an extraordinary God, but they think they serve an ordinary God, but yet he's so extraordinary. Come on, think about speaking a word and things came into existence just by speaking a word. Amen? I always tell people, if God can create a tree, surely he can heal you. If God can speak, people say, well, we believe in a big bang. Well, I believe that God said, let there be light, and bang, light came. There's nothing ordinary about our God. He's extraordinary, supernatural. I've seen it the last couple of months of my life, how God's supernatural healing power sweep across the nations of the world. I was in Israel recently, and when I got to Israel, my heart broke, because I was preaching in Israel, and people told me after, they said to me, I had a conversation with a lady, she said to me, I do not believe. I said to her, you know, guys are so privileged, being able to live in a country where Jesus walked. First of all, amen. Think about where Jesus opened the eyes of the blind. They tell me that place, we don't believe in miracles anymore. And the minute God started moving and operating in the supernatural power of God, people ran into Jesus and they said, now we believe. But I said to people over there in Madagascar, I was there now for my second time in Madagascar. There's so many people there. As far as the eye can see, it's just people. Hundreds upon hundreds of people. And the Lord moved in such a powerful way that people will get healed. I promise you, mass healings. I'm talking about hundreds of healings in an instance where the Lord just healed the blind and the lame, and the Lord just moving supernaturally in a supernatural way. And we're living in a season where I believe that we're going to see signs that will make us wonder. Come on, I'm talking about uncommon miracles. So he says that it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Now I'm looking at the life of Jesus and his disciples. His disciples was walking with him every single day, seeing miracles. Come on. Seeing miracles, but yet they doubted him. They were men with unbelief and fear, fearful men. I mean, it's Peter who said that, Lord, I will never deny you. I'll die with you. And the minute problems came, what did he do? He denied the living Christ. He ran for dear life. I've heard so many people tell me that I wish I could have been one of the disciples, because then my spiritual life would have been different. I said, no ways, it won't. Because think about Jesus sleeping in the back of the boat and water filling this boat, and the disciples are afraid of dying. Jesus stands up, he rebukes the wind. Come on, he commands the storm to be gone. That's power. Oh, that's power. Come on, I said, that's power. put yourself in that boat, see, he is the Son of God standing up and say, peace, be still. And the whole nature must obey. Think about that. Come on. That's power. But even that power didn't change the disciples. They were still fearful. They were still worried. The Bible says they were sleeping on a mountain, and all of a sudden Jesus was speaking with Moses and Elijah. Come on, remember the mountain of transfiguration? Peter woke up. Lord, what must we do? Must we build some tents? That's might. That didn't change them. But Jesus said, when I go to my Father, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And do you know what happened? They became carriers, hosts of the presence of the Most High God. And that changed them, because power does not change a heart that doesn't believe. Come on, might doesn't do anything to a man that doesn't believe. But when the Spirit of God touches a mere man, think about this. I want to bless you. Think about when Jesus, before he came to earth, the Holy Spirit had to take God and make him a seed and put him in a woman. Help me out. So imagine if the Holy Spirit can take God and make him seed, imagine what the Holy Spirit can do with man. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, am I speaking to somebody in this place? If he can take God and turn him into seed, imagine what he can do with man. He can revolutionize your whole life. Because it's not by might. Say this, it's not by might. It's not by power. But by my Spirit. Now, if you have your Bibles, if you don't have your Bibles, go sit next to a Christian. Hallelujah. Just a joke, free of charge. The book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 3, in verse 18, it says, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the same Spirit of the Lord. Paul talks and he says that we are people that looks into a mirror, but with unveiled faces. Now, if you look at the Bible, if you study the Word of God, Moses received, listen, if you study Exodus, the book of Exodus, Moses received the promises of God. Come on. He has seen the power of God. He was guaranteed the presence of God. But in Exodus 53, he says, show me your glory. So come on, he received the promises of God. He's seen the power of God. He was given a guarantee that God's presence will go with him. But that wasn't enough. Now he wants the person of God. He says, show me your glory. I want to see your glory. Hello? I want to see your glory. I'm hungry for your glory. Now the Bible says, thereafter Moses spent some time with God, with God's glory. Because God says, my presence will go with you. If you go to Pharaoh, I'll be with you. If you go to Egypt, I'll be with you. Don't worry, I guarantee you, my presence will go with you. But now Moses says, now I want to see you face to face. I want to see your glory. Come on, I want to see the person of God. And the Bible says, now he's in the presence of the Lord for 40 days. He came down the mountain and his face started shining. It was bright light. Think about Israel seeing this bright light. He had to cover his face with a veil. And then he will speak to Israel. And then the minute he goes back to God, he will remove the veil. In other words, his face was unveiled again in the presence of God. Now, the Lord says, or Paul says, and he says that when we behold ourselves, when we look into a mirror with unveiled faces, we behold his glory. In other words, when we see, when we look into a mirror, what do you see? When we look into a mirror with unveiled faces, we're supposed to see the very image of our God. We are supposed to become the carriers of the presence of the Lord. Come on. We need to become hosts of the presence of the Lord. The Bible says that we are temples of the Holy Spirit. Who believes that? Who believes that we are a temple of the Holy Spirit? In today's life, we've got so many post offices of the devil that it's hard to find temples of the Holy Ghost. But yeah, the Bible says that we should become carriers of the very presence of the Lord. Now, I want to explain this to you before I go to another scripture. I was, in my life, I always knew that there's a calling, but I ran away from the calling. I didn't want to preach the gospel. That's the last thing I wanted to do because I'm shy. I can't speak. I can't even speech in school. In school, I begged my mom, just keep me home if there's a speech. I can't speak in front of people. I'm an introvert and I'm so shy. And I never understood why I am so shy, why I'm an introvert. But people are going to stone me right now. I believe that the people that will be the greatest used by God is introverts. The shy ones. Because it's not by might, not by power, but by His Spirit. I said, Lord, you can find, I can show you in my classroom better speakers. God says, I don't want a speaker, I want a demonstrator. I don't want a speaker, I want a demonstrator. Come on, listen to me. It's like you can find many people that can speak better than me. Well, Paul says my speech and my preaching didn't come to you with persuasive words, but with demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So he will use that, what the world says, no ways. God says, yes ways. I want to use this guy. So I said to my dad, I'm going to clean the toilets. My dad had a church. I said, I'll clean your toilets. I'll carry chairs. Many people want to go into ministry, but they do not even know how to carry chairs. They do not know how to sweep. They don't know how to clean the toilets. If you want to be great, you have to serve, brother. Come on, if you want to be great, you ask, you get a position. You say, I will clean the church. Come on, who's on cleaning duty this week? Now everybody's looking. I said, I'll clean churches. I'll do what I did. I carried speakers. I carried chairs. I cleaned churches. I ran around after preachers helping them. Because you know what? In today's society, many people wants to be an Elijah, but not many wants to be the widow. Just because you're not Elijah, maybe you're the widow, doesn't mean that you're less of important. Both roles are equally important. Because the widow helps the Elijah to fulfill his duty. Come on, to fulfill his purpose. If you think about this, Elijah can reach Japan, the widow can't. But the widow, her seed, her help, help also sends her to China and to Japan. So people say, I'm not Elijah, I'm not good enough. Well, you're the widow. And God is raising up the widows all over the world to take care of Elijah. The widow said, I'll make room for the man of God. I'll make room for the presence of God. Right, you need to hear me. The minute you start to make room for the presence of God, the minute you start to make room for the anointing will make room for you. Many people in today's life, we don't have room for the anointing. Oh no, don't speak about the anointing. We can't wait on the Lord. We think it's like a McDonald's drive-thru. This is not McDonald's. He who waits on the Spirit of God. Oh, they shall mount up on wings of eagles. So we have to wait on the Spirit of God. Now, Turn with me to 2 Samuel. There's some names I'm going to have to read now, and it's going to sound like Greek, or just bear with me. 2 Samuel chapter 6 says the ark brought to Jerusalem. Now the ark, for those who didn't understand or don't understand this, the ark in the Old Testament is where the presence of God was kept. God said to Moses, build me a place so that I can dwell among my people. All right, this is what the Bible is talking about. He says, again, David gathered all the choice men of Israel, 30,000 of them. And David arose and went with all the people who were with him from Baal Judah to bring up the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, who dwell between the cherubim. So they set the ark of God on a new cart and brought it out on the of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, and Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart, and they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, accompanying the ark of the God of God. Listen, accompanying the ark of God. Verse 5 says, then David and all of the house of Israel played music before the Lord on all kinds of instruments, of fir wood, on harps, on stringed instruments, on tambourines, on sistrums, and on cymbals. And if you look at verse 6, it says, and when they came to Nachon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error, and he died by the ark of the Lord. Some translation says he died at the ark of God. And David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah, and called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. David was afraid of the Lord that day. And he said, how can the ark of the Lord come to me? How can the ark of God come to my house if he just killed a man? He says, So David would not move the ark of the Lord with him into the city of David. But David took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom. The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom for 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all of his household. Now it was told King David, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness. Now, listen. We all understand this portion of scripture where the Bible says that David went and he brought back the ark of covenant, the ark of God, where the presence of God was, back to the city of David. But the Bible says as they was walking, one of the men slipped because of the oxen. The oxen slipped. And out of error, he touched the Ark of Covenant. And he died. If you understand the law, they were supposed to carry the Ark upon their shoulders. So they didn't do it exactly the right way. But now the Word of God says David and the guys, 30,000, started playing music, danced before the Ark. Playing all instruments, come on, drums and guitars, and singing unto him a new song. And now the oxen slipped, he and the man slipped, he touched the ark, and he died. And David said, no ways, how can the ark of God come into my city if people are dying? And he said, I can't have it. And then he asked Obed-Edom to take it into his house. Obed-Edom made room in his house to take in the Ark of God. The Ark of God came into his house for 3 months. And the Bible says for 3 months, Obed-Edom's whole life was changed. Come on, in today's terms, his farm was a blessing. He had more crop that he could cater for. His daughter that couldn't have children, who was barren, all of a sudden started having children. Come on, his business that was failing all of a sudden became blessed. Am I speaking to somebody in this place? All of a sudden, everything that failed started seeming, it seems like everything is coming back to life again. All the dry bones are alive and breathing again. Everything that seems like it's not working out changed in an instant. And the Bible is very clear on this. He says, now rumors started spreading. You see, when God starts to bless you, the rumors is going to spread. Because enemies, I like to address the enemies. Because enemies will always speak against you when things are going bad. He's doing something wrong. It's the sin. But Job was upright. There was not a man like Job on the face of the earth. And the devil tested him. And I always say that if you understand why you are going through testings, it's not because you're doing something wrong. It's because you do something right. The devil doesn't attack people who already got. The devil attack you because he can't get to you. So he wants you to bow your knee. And that's why the devil attacks you. The only reason why enemies speak against you is because they took notice of you. Think about this. The Bible says God cannot lie. It's one thing God can't do. Okay, listen. God can do all things, but he cannot lie. It's impossible for him to lie. But now the Bible says the devil can't speak truth because he's the father of lies. It's impossible for the devil to speak truth. So in other words, when the devil tells you you are not going to make it, what is he actually trying to get through to you? You are going to make it. He can't say it because there's no truth found in him. Hello? So now rumors is spreading again. One day you were down and out. The next day you're up and about. And your enemies can't handle this. And now rumors are spreading. Did you see? New car? He's driving a new car again. Look at that new house. No, I think there's something not going on. Something is, he's up to something. Let me tell you something. God is up to something. God is up to something. And this is the first thing that I love. Do you know when you know that somebody is a carrier or a host of God's presence? Do you know when you look at somebody and you know this man is a carrier of the presence? When you become a seeker. The people around you become seekers. Because now they want what you've got. They see something else on your face. Your face is shining. Come on, I want what you've got. What do you have? There's something else. I want this. They become seekers for more of him. More of him. And this is exactly what happened to the life of Moses. He received the promises. Come on. He received the promises of God. He was guaranteed the presence. But he says, no, there's a deeper searching. There's a deeper searching. I want the glory. I want the person of God. I want to know who he is. It's not good enough. The promises is good, but I want more. Come on, somebody help me in this place. I'm guaranteed that his presence will go with me, but I want more. There's a deeper yearning. There's a deeper seeking. And David said, no ways. If this man is blessed, let's go back. Let's go take the ark. I want the same blessing. I want the same blessing. Come on, I want the same blessing. The Bible says he took the Ark of Covenant, went, took it back to the city of David. But then, if you read on in the book of First Chronicles, you'll see that Obed-Edom was promoted to a gatekeeper. He became the gatekeeper. And if you look at, if you study this, there was a gate to enter into the presence of God. He became the gatekeeper because God entrusted him with his presence. Now, I want you to listen to me. God shall not be played with. God shall not be mocked. If God trusts his presence with you, you better take care of it. And the reason why Uzzah died by touching it, because you have to understand our God is a holy God. And his presence is holy. I was in my prayer room the other night. I was praying. I was seeking God's face. And I said to him, Lord, I want to experience your glory. I have seen your power. I've seen your presence. I know your presence is with me every day. He promises us he will be with us until eternity. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? But I said, I want more. I want your glory. And you know what? God spoke to me and he said, many people want to see my glory, but they do not understand that holiness is the first step. They touched the Ark of Covenant. They touched the glory. They touched the presence of God. But he was unholy and he died. Let me tell you something. Acts chapter 5. The Bible says they lied. Remember the story? Ananias, his wife Sapphira, died in the presence of God because they lied to the Holy Spirit. If you look at the book of Acts is actually a formula of how the church should operate today. The book of Acts, people were saved daily. Come say daily. Daily. They were baptized. There wasn't a program, there's water, let's baptize. Come on. They were seeing signs, wonders, and miracles. Now, the church of Acts was a glory hub. It was a glory hub. That's the reason why people were saved. If you look at churches worldwide today, you do not see miracles. You do not see demonstration. Why? Because the glory is Ichabod. In other words, for you who doesn't understand, the glory has departed. Once you are a carrier of the presence of God, this is why they died. Because the glory of God was there. They touched the glory of God in a manner they were not supposed to. They lied to the Spirit of God. Come on, somebody. Now imagine God trusts you with his presence in such a way that he promotes you and he says, well, now you're a gatekeeper. In other words, you are the one who opens the gates for people to enter into his presence. I don't say this because I'm in DCC. I promise you the Lord knows my heart. The one thing that I miss in my travelings is the band of DCC because they are gatekeepers. They know how to open up the gates for people to experience God. But the thing that I've learned is that you can't give people what you don't have. You can't take somebody into the presence of God unless you live there. If I haven't been to Joburg, I need to follow Tom Tom. Tom Tom was there. Amen? I wasn't there. So I have to follow Tom Tom. But if I have been to Joburg, I can say, well, just sit back and relax. I'm going to take you there. And this is exactly what we need today. We need people that knows what it means to live and breathe the presence of God in order to give it out to this world. And that night I was, as I spent the time in the presence of God, something happened. And I want you to listen very closely. I received God's promises. I was guaranteed His presence. I always said to the Lord, I'm not going to minister anywhere unless you go with me. I can't do that. I was in a church recently, before I get back to this, 5,000 people. And behind the scenes, I don't know why, I've been ministering for 14 years. I've been full-time ministry for 9 years, full-time, with me and my wife, 9 years. So it's, and I promise you, I don't just minister on a Sunday. Sometimes I minister right through the week. Sunday start again, right through the week. So I know what it means to minister. But every single service, behind the scenes, it feels like, it's not butterflies, it's elephants. And sweat comes off and my heart is beating. Lord, I have to preach. And the minute I take the mic, something changes. Something happens. My son came to me the other day, he said, that's not my dad. I said, what do you mean? He said, this is a different man. He said, this is a different guy. This is what we want. We don't want man to speak to us. We want God to speak to us. Come on. We don't want man's hands. We want God's hands. And now I'm coming out, 5,000 people. I preached there before. The power of God felt on this in that place the first time. But now, when I preach, I see the glory of God. It's like a cloud that I'm experiencing. I don't see people's faces. I always say, when you see people's faces, the one person looks at you and thinks in the face expression tells you, please stop. They yawn. You'll get an auntie, she will say, preach it, my brother, go, go, go. She'll get mixed emotions, all right? So I always say to God, I don't want to see people's faces. And I heard God say to me, go down. And I went down, and I stood before the crowd. Went from the stage before the crowd, and all of a sudden, I started seeing people's faces. My knees started wobbling, I promise you. I don't know what to say. The first thing I asked myself, vessel, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? And I'm seeking, where's the exit? Wanted to run. And immediately, when I started feeling that, I knew the presence of God left. I knew it. And the minute I started seeking for the nearest exit, I promise you I would have run. The presence of God came back and I heard God speak to me audibly. This is who you are without me. This is who you are without me. I asked myself the question, vessel, what are you doing here? Exact same question that the angel of the Lord asked Elijah when he ran away from a woman. What are you doing here? I gave you the power to become victorious. Come on, you received my promises. You've experienced my presence. I will go with you. So that night, praying in the presence of God, and the Lord spoke to me about holiness. But I want you to understand now and picture this. Now it's just me in this room praying, but my prayers becomes prayers of tears. It's no longer words. Words fail me right now. You see, when it become tears, I believe that your tears is a language before God. And uses your tears to water your dreams. Come on, who am I speaking to? So I'm praying and then something shifted. I couldn't look up. Immediately I knew a second person walked into this room. I knew it. If I look up, I would have died. Who knows what I'm talking about? In that presence became so heavy. Now, for those who say it can't happen, let me just help you quickly. If Moses asked him, under the law, show me your glory, I can stand in the new covenant and put a demand on his glory. Religiosity or religion tries to keep you away from that. I think religion is the biggest demonic spirit operating in our churches today. Because he tells you, it can't, you can't, you can't, you can't do this. Oh, don't do that, don't do that. Yeah. Amen. I hate religion. Because religion keeps us away from who God really is. People say, well, yes, this vessel is a nice religious guy. Then I say, I'm not religious at all. Say, what? Said, I'm a born again, spirit filled. I'm in covenant of the Most High God. I've got relationship. And I just want to help you. Relationship is not religion. Religion is something you have with a dead idol. Religion is something you have with something that can't speak back. I don't have a religion with my wife. I have a relationship with my wife. Some guys got a religion with their wives. I don't know. That's a preach for another day. I've got a relationship. So in the relationship, I can claim his presence. Hello? My whole life was changed. Next weekend, I took my whole ministry team, all the guys that travels with me normally. They've got meetings in Johannesburg with my dad today. So my whole team are there. But I took them all onto a mountain. We started praying. And I said it loud so that everybody could hear me. I said, Lord, I know that you hear me. But for the sake of my brethren around, may I ask? And it was hot. I promise you it was hot. There was no wind. I said, I ask you right now that you will move upon this mountain. That it be like a mighty rushing wind. And I lifted my hands. As I lifted my hands, my father-in-law stood next to me. He's a tall guy. He stood right next to me and the rest next to him. And the power of God came onto that mountain that he almost couldn't stand on his feet. His shirt started going like this. But it was powerful, like a powerful source that just onto to that mountain. They couldn't stand. They just sobbed in the presence of God. They couldn't even look up for a few minutes. And then his presence was gone. It was hot, no wind. When you become a carrier, a host of his glory, people around you will become hungry. They will become seekers. We want what you've got. Come on, am I speaking to you in this place? So Obed-Edom, when he gave the ark, God trusted him with for 3 months. He made room. People need to understand this. You need to be able to make room for the presence of God in your life, in your business, in your marriage. When you start to make room for his presence, you will start to understand the blessings of God will start to follow you all the days of your life. I was asked by a family to, somebody called me and asked me, will you go and pray for such and such? And it was an hour's drive from my house, but I knew that God said to me, you have to go, because it's non-believers, they do not believe in the Lord. And I drove there, and I took a farmer. It was a farmer friend of mine. He was in Johannesburg for some business, and he heard I was going to pray for somebody, and he asked me, can he please accompany me on this trip? Now I'm praying, picking this guy up, and as I picked him up, he sat in a car, big guy. He looked to me, and he said, you've been praying. I said, my life is a prayer. All right, focus. You've been praying? No, my life is a prayer. He says, I feel the presence of God. Now we're driving. Got to this hospital. I didn't know who the people were that I'm supposed to pray for. Somebody, the person that asked me to go and pray is a friend of a friend of a friend. So I got to this hospital room. I got to this hospital and a woman passed me. I just made eye contact and the Lord said to me, this is the woman. It's her husband. So I'm walking past her. I immediately knew this is the lady. But I'm on assignment. Come on, I've got an assignment. Now I'm walking past a room. And as I walked past this room, a man started screaming ballistically. Screaming. And I knew this is a demon spirit. And I walked past the room with this farmer. And now this farmer is on another level because he's saying something he didn't see before. So I went to the nurse. I said, I'm looking for this man. And she said, you know, you heard this guy that's screaming? That's the guy. But as I was speaking with the nurse, this room was quiet again. Now I'm walking back. The more I'm walking back, the louder the screams become. Got into this room. Now, this guy is screaming. Doctors say that he's mentally, he's got a, I don't know what happened. It was like a big stroke, but he can't respond. So if you see him lying on the bed, on his back, his eyes were tilted to his head. So they say there's not much brain function. So I've asked his wife. His wife was crying, and she said, I said to her, do you know Jesus? She said, no, we're not believers. I said, your husband also a non-believer? She said, he's not a non-believer. And then she said to me, he's not responding at all. So I took him by the hand. And I said to him, sir, I'm here to tell you about Jesus Christ. And he started squeezing my hand. And then she started screaming, did you squeeze your hand? I said, he squeezed my hand. Then I said to him, I want to tell you about Jesus. And I preached the gospel to him. While I was preaching this gospel to him, tears started streaming down his face. His eyes still tilted, but now tears are moving. And I know the Holy Spirit is here because now the Holy Spirit is busy moving on his heart. And I said, if you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior right now, squeeze my hand. He squeezed even more and tears flowing. And after my prayer, I left his hand and his wife was opposite the bed and I started speaking to her. And immediately this guy's face started changing. It was like a light that entered into that room. And you know what? His eyes rolled back. He looked right in front of him, lifted both hands, started worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you know what happened? And then the Lord came in and he took him. The farmer started screaming. But do you know what happened? When his face started changing, I knew the glory of God is here. And he's seeing Jesus right in front of him. This very Jesus I preached to him. He's seeing him right now. And he started worshiping in adoration. I'm talking about a sinner that's never used to worshiping the Lord. All of a sudden, hands lifted up, tears streaming down his face, seeing, beholding the face of the Son of the living God, worshiping the King of Kings. And the Lord took him. And then the farmer screaming, he says, Vessel, Jesus was here in this room. He saw Jesus. I led his wife to the Lord. That whole hospital was shaken by the power of God. We went to an ICU unit now recently, and there was a man. Doctor said he's going to die, cancer. When I saw this guy, I thought to myself, the first thing that the flesh says is he's not going to make it. He's going to die. Pipes all over. And my dad and I, we walked into this hospital room and I laid my hands on him. We led him to the Lord. He was a sinner. He didn't believe in the Lord. 70 years old, didn't believe in the Lord. Laid our hands on him. The power of God hit him. When the power of God hit him, a guy across from the room, he said, please pray for me. The glory of God hit him. We laid our hands on them. We started praying for that ICU unit. I went to see the guy now. He looks 15 years younger. I walked past him. I didn't even know it's the same guy. His wife actually had to tell me, you've passed him. This is my husband. And now he's talking and he's speaking. And now, will you pray for me again? Now, this is what happens when you become a host of his presence. People around you become seekers of God. They want to know more of him. They want to inquire more of him. Our God is not normal. He's extraordinary. Come on, he's an extraordinary God who does extraordinary things. David understood this well. If the blessing can be in his house, the blessing can be in my house. Amen. And people will see the blessing of God upon your life. And that will intrigue them. Moses had a desire. I want to know who he is. I want to see the person. Who are you? Show me your glory. His whole exterior changed. If you look at Saul, who became Paul. Saul was a mass murderer. He wasn't liking the Christians very much. He wanted to kill them. One encounter with the presence. Or let me rephrase. One encounter with the glory of Jesus Christ changed him upside down. And read the scripture. Then Paul preached. He preached because of the revelation he received. Because the glory of God changes a man completely. From a mass murderer into a guy that became one of the greatest apostles of all times. Because of the presence of the glory of God that he lived and breathed in. Amen? I promise you, you can't go to the nations of the world where they want to kill you without the glory of God. You're going to fail. You're going to fail miserably. We're living in a season, in a time where people are fed up being preached at. They want to see the demonstration of God's Spirit and of God's power. Am I speaking to you in this place? They want to see. I've asked this question. Many people came to me and said, Vessel, well, prove your Jesus. Prove him. The disciples said actually the same thing to Jesus. Well, show us your God. Show us the Father. And it's enough. And Jesus said to them, I have been with you for so long, and yet you ask us, show us the Father. He who have seen me have seen my Father. What does it mean? Did he say, no, he's the Father? No, this is not what he meant. What he actually said was, if you want to know who my Father is, if you want to know what he is about, look at my life. I'm representing my Father. So Jesus healed. It means that his Father is a healer. He had compassion. It means his Father is compassionate. Am I speaking to you? So when the world says, well, show me your Jesus, you're supposed to say, well, I've been with you for so long. If you have seen me, you have seen my Jesus. Come on, with unveiled faces. This is what Paul says. With an unveiled face, we behold in the mirror from glory to glory. So when people say, where's your Jesus? Here I am. Look at me. Look at me. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Obed-Edom received the blessings of God because he made room for the presence of the Lord. And the powerful thing is, it was not just Obed-Edom who was blessed. His whole household was blessed. I was praying in my son's room the other night. He was sleeping at a friend's house. So I was using his room to pray. I went into the room, and I promise you, my son will teach the older people how to pray. This boy can pray. The other night I was spending time with the Lord. I heard somebody cry in my house, and I got up and I heard it's my son. But now it's 2 o'clock in the morning. I opened the door. I said, what's wrong? He said, it's the presence of the Lord. I said to him, well, it's, I know I love this, but it's school tomorrow morning. He said, listen, you showed the example. How can I stop this? I said, continue. Every night I will hear him seeking the power of God. Seeking God's glory, seeking God's glory. And he said to me, he said, you know, Dad, I'm hearing you pray. I see how you pray, the heavens opened. And I want the same thing. And now he's praying, praying, praying. So I'm entering into this room, and immediately the presence of God is there because my son knows how to pray there. And the first thing that I did was I fell on his bed with my hands on his pillow, and I sobbed. I'm telling you, his bed is wet of tears. I sobbed. And I said, Lord, remember this boy, that twice that's upon my life shall come upon his and his sister's life. They will be used supernaturally. And I spoke to him, and he said, well, he became a seeker because of his father and his mother's life. They became seekers. I want to tell parents in this place, many parents, I've got a guy, he's like my second in charge. He's, wherever I go, he goes. He wanted to be in Durban. I said, you have to be in Johannesburg. We need you in Johannesburg. But this guy just... he's got a servant's heart, but the problem that he's facing is he is a type of guy that he doesn't want his children to watch television. He's, don't do this. You can't do this. If we show his kids on the TV, he will say, not allowed, not allowed, not allowed. You can't even watch Shrek. Not allowed, not allowed. Everything's not allowed because he wants to protect his child against all the things of the world. And I said to him, you have to understand, you've got a greater protector, and his name is Holy Spirit. I said, with my kids, does your kids watch television? Oh, yes. Do they go to watch a movie in the cinema? Oh, yes. But do you know what they do? Before they watch something wrong, the Holy Spirit will convict their hearts. And they will say, I don't want to watch this. Not, I'm not allowed. I don't want to. I don't want to. Come on, I don't want to. If you lead by example, they will become seekers of the presence of God. Come on, who hears what I'm saying today? When you become a carrier of that glory, your children will become seekers. So if God blessed Obed-Edom and his whole household, what this means is when you make room in your house for the presence of God, your children will be blessed. Your whole household, your animals will be blessed. Oh, hallelujah. Everything that belongs to you will be blessed. We can't be in ministry without the presence of God. Amen. Listen, I say this, and I want to say this with all the love in my heart, but with such boldness. If you're in ministry without the presence of God, get out. Find a job. Because we hurt more than we heal. Do you know what happens when you know that somebody is called? You think about Elisha. Elisha was chosen in Elijah's place. Elijah was a carrier of the presence. Come on, say this, carrier of the presence. He was a carrier of the presence. Wherever he went, miracles happened. And I've seen this really. people run to the Lord when they need healing, when they need breakthrough. When they receive it, you do not see them in church again. You can't demand a breakthrough if you're not part of the covenant. A covenant child or covenant son, as I want to call it, is somebody that loves the Lord Jesus Christ with everything. And there's no excuse why I can't be in church. If you look upon people's worship, you can tell them, or you can actually then see how much they love the Lord. Your worship says much. Come on, I want a breakthrough to you. Your worship says so much. Did you know that your breakthrough, your level of breakthrough is in comparison with your level of worship? Well, I don't receive breakthrough. Well, you haven't worshipped in a while. Before David attacked Goliath, what did the Lord do? He made sure that his weapons are ready. Come on, I want to listen. We've got carnal people. Carnal people, you get saved carnal people, but they miss out on what God wants to do. You see, do you know what happened was with David and Goliath? Before I'm going to get back to Elijah quickly. I'm going to be 5 more minutes. You see, Goliath was a bully. A big mouth. Come on, every bully is a big mouth. Think about this. If you have been bullied in school, or your children have been bullied in school, the bully is a big mouth. And he's actually bullying because he tries to cover his hurt and his insecurities. But it's a big mouth. And always, when we boxed, they told us, when you're in a group fight, you punch the biggest guy. And then the small guys, or the one with the biggest mouth, and the rest will run away. And trust me, it works. That's why David was after Goliath. He said, if I eat this big mouth, we will chase them all off our land. But he had to prepare. He killed a bear. He killed a lion. It was on his CV. Did you know that the old ancient Hebrew word for lion means fear? And bear means sorrow? So he had to deal with fear and sorrow. Before he could face that biggest mountain, the biggest problem ever. And then, while Israel said, if there's only a man that can fight this giant, he came out, Goliath, come on, send me a man that can fight me. Send me a man that can fight me. Big mouth. Just send me a man. And do you know what Israel did, carnal? Yes, if we only had a man. If we only had a man that could fight him. Next day, Goliath comes again. Send me a man. Send me a man who can fight me. Carnal minded. Oh, God, if we only had a man. You are the man. You are the man. You are the man. Do you know what happened? David picked up 5 stones. When he got to the battlefield, on his CV was he killed the bear, he killed the lion. And behind the scenes, he was getting busy, getting ready. He had his weapons ready. 1 Samuel 16, you'll see David playing on harp, worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Your worship is a weapon. Secondly, when he got to the battlefield, while Israel was carnal, David said, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, let's go. If you can only have a man, well, I'm the man. Goliath laughed. He said, I'm going to feed you to the birds of the air. What Goliath didn't understand was, David is a carrier of the presence of God. Because behind the scenes, in his most lonely hours, God is creating supernatural powers. Amen? And he fell in. Bah. And do you know what happened? The Bible says Goliath fell forwards, not backwards. The law of gravity says he was supposed to fall backwards. He was supposed to tremble and fall backwards, but not this time. This time he's falling to the front. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. They took the Ark of Covenant. They stole it. The Philistines stole it. They placed it next to an idol called Dagon. They left it in a room. The next morning, they came into that room. Dagon is laying face down. Not backwards, on his face. They picked it up. Slept. Next morning, came back. Dagon on his face. Head off. an idol bowed in the presence of God. This is what the Bible says. And his head was off. I want to tell you, if you go for your Goliath, make sure you take his head off. Come on, make sure. And do you know why? Listen. I've asked God this. I said, Lord, give me revelation. Why was the Gon's head off? Why was his head off? Because the Lord revealed this, that he is the head of the body. So if you make room for the presence of God, he becomes the head of your household. Hallelujah. And when he's the head of your household, your whole household will be blessed. And then God will bring promotion. Now all of a sudden, you're not just the carrier, but you're the gatekeeper. You're the one that opens up the gate and allow people to enter and experience the presence of God. Now all of a sudden, you are walking into the pavilion and the atmosphere has changed. And people say, whoa, a Christian walked in here. How do you know? Something just happened. The atmosphere just shifted. People all of a sudden can't handle the very presence of you. Where you go, people walk out of the room. Is it my shoes? Maybe it's my hair. Do I look all right? You do not get invited anymore to family parties. At your workplace, they've got a clique, but you're not part of the clique. Smith Wigglesworth got on a boat and people will fall on their faces and say, please just get off. Your very presence makes me repent. Can't handle your presence. A family member who we do not see is part of my wife's family. We don't see them because of what we believe. The woman asked Aileen if she can come to our house. Aileen said yes. Normally when they come to our house, when our children normally play with my kids, she stays in the car. This woman doesn't want to be around me. She got into my house. She's looking to the ground. My wife says, what's wrong? She says, this man. She says, what about him? I'm so afraid of him. Can't be in his presence. I said to her, why are you afraid? She says like this, I don't know. Can't look at you. I said, you're not afraid of me. It's the spirit in you that's afraid of the spirit that I carry. People say, well, people don't like me. It's not that they don't like you. They can't handle the very presence that you carry. Because that very presence must change them. And people don't want to be changed. Do you hear me today in this place? They like you. They don't like what you carry. They don't like the presence that you carry. Because the presence you carry, if they encounter you, they encounter that presence, they must change. People don't want to change. People don't want to be challenged. If there's a family bride, everybody's invited, not us. Don't invite them. The Bible punches. They believe everything so literally. They said to me the other day, your Bible is a fairy tale. I said, my Bible is a fairy tale. Why don't they ban Pinocchio in China? They ban the Bibles in China, but they don't ban Pinocchio in China because the Bible is a threat. Come on, I'm speaking some truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. In Jesus' name. If you want to be an ordinary Christian, that's your story. I don't want to be ordinary. I want to be extraordinary. I want to represent everything that my Father is. And right now, you need to hear me. You need to become so desperate for the Lord to touch you. Come on, is there such desperate people in this place? So desperate for the Lord to come and just touch you. So desperate. In Madagascar, I've seen something. I was preaching there, and we made an altar call. And hundreds gave their life to Jesus. And there was a woman standing there, and I was on top looking at her. And all of a sudden, she grabs my pants. And I'm like this. And she screams, I'm healed, I'm healed. And when she did that, everybody jumped, started grabbing me. Security had to run in, get them off. And they started just screaming, we healed, we healed, we healed. I was in Germany now. And I took another farmer with me. The farmers love Jesus. Rodney Howard Brown is my friend. He said to me, we had lunch. And then he said, Wessel, the Lord says he's going to bring farmers around you. Who's going to be influenced by your ministry in such a powerful way. And it happened. Exactly as I'm standing here. We've got so many farmers attending our meetings, driving from far, inviting me to farm communities. In any case, so this farmer went with me to Germany. And we got to Germany, and I was scheduled to preach the next day. In that evening that we got there, there was already somebody preaching. We got to the back of the church because the pastor wanted to show me what the venue looks like. So I entered into the venue. I said, well, it looks very nice. We're tired. We're going to go home. Turned around. We walked out. Pastor called me in my hotel. I was busy praying. He called me. He said, he needs to come and see me. Came to me. He said, what do you carry? I said, what do you mean? What do I carry? I thought, what is this man up to now? He says, what are you carrying with you? I said, what do you mean? He says, well, something happened. When you entered into the building, everybody fell face down, sobbed, repented of all their sins. Germany doesn't understand that. That's Europe. Europe is cold. Not just cold. Cold. If you say Jesus heals, they say it's a devil. Trust me. After that, I went to Finland for the fifth time. Got a death threat on email. Guy said, if you do not leave Finland, we're going to kill you. We hate your presence here. We don't like your presence here. Oh, do you know what I did? I preached even more. I preached even more in Finland. Amen. Glory carriers. Obed-Edom was blessed because he made room. Will you allow God to come into your house? Come a carrier of that presence of God Almighty. See, when you become a carrier, you can release healing. Because now you release the substance of what you have. Come on, somebody, help me out in this place. You can be the miracle somebody else is praying for. Please listen. You can become that miracle that somebody else is looking for. The world will read the Bible, but many times you are the Bible that they will read and study. Amen. I've seen my family, my children, their lives turned upside down. My son, my daughter, sewers. It's like their mother. They will give everything away. We bought my son a jacket. It was a jacket of faith. It cost 500 rand. He wanted this jacket. Bought him this jacket. He was so excited about this jacket. We drove to a garage. There was a little boy standing outside in the cold, begging. The first thing that went was his jacket. He removed his jacket. He gave his jacket to this little boy. It broke my heart. And I seen that my children, well, it broke my heart with excitement. My heart was broken to see that they love the Lord more than they love anything else. And you know what? My son just went to high school and he's a rugby player. He's a rugby fanatic. And he saw some talks to play on rugby boots. And he went to the shop. He showed me, Dad, this is the boots I want. 3,000 rand. State of the art. My goodness. Now, I heard him praying in this room. Lord, please supply the boots. I'm a sower. I've got seed in the ground. But what that he doesn't understand, he's got a dad behind the scene. Also praying the same prayer. Please provide, Lord. Please provide. The one year, well, let me finish and then I'm going to tell you what I want to say. A guy called me then, out of nowhere. He said, is Dylan playing rugby this year? I said, yes, he just started in high school. He said, does he have rugby boots? I said, he's looking at some. He said, send me some pictures. He sent him some pictures. He said, done. Done. My son had a birthday. His birthday is coming up the 9th of Feb. Again, we had a birthday one year and his heart's desire was to have an electric helicopter. We couldn't afford it. And I was crying before the Lord. His mom was crying before the Lord, seeking the Lord, because now this child is excited. He's going to get an electric helicopter. 8th of February, somebody called me, invited me to the house, got there. And we just spoke to the people and the guy jumped up, a big guy, jumped up. He said, oh, by the way, just come with me. Walked into this room with a lot of electric helicopters. He says, I don't know why, but I want to give you this one. Maybe your son wants one. 9th of February, I presented him with the gift. If you're a carrier of the glory of God, he will bless you and your household. Your children will become seekers. If my dad can pray the heavens open, so can I. Amen. If my dad can spend time on his knees, so can I.
so can I. And listen, it comes through surrendering to Him by praying, by seeking the face of the living God. We need to become people that pray. Listen, South Africa can be changed if this church will listen to this message. We don't need new governments. We don't need a Donald Trump. We need Jesus. We need His presence. We need His glory to infiltrate this earth. My son said the same thing to the Lord as I said. I said, Lord, if you want me to preach, I want to be extraordinary. I don't want to be normal. Make me extraordinary. Come on, extraordinary. I can carry on with testimonies, the things that we saw in Malaysia. Standing in Malaysia, they said to me that you're not allowed to say Jesus is the Son of God. They will kill you. But you know what I've experienced? Uzzah touched the glory of God and he died. Because he touched it in an unworthy manner. But if you're the righteous of God, you live in the presence. You bring the presence. So if you die, you die for Him. If you live, you live for Him. Oh, death, where's thy sting? So he said, you're not allowed to say Jesus is the only way, they're going to kill you. And I said to him, no problem. Big mistake. Don't give an evangelist the mic. I got the mic in my hand. The first words I said, only Jesus can save. He's the way, the truth, and the life. I said, Muhammad is dead. Buddha is dead. Like, 1,000 Muslims gave their lives to Jesus Christ. 1,000 Muslims said yes to Jesus. One woman jumped up and she ran. She ran out. The ushers chased her. Got outside. She vomited. They've asked her, what's wrong? She said she had cancer. She wasn't baptized with the Holy Spirit. She said she was afraid. As she looked to me, she didn't see me. She says she saw fire of God. And she said, as she ran out, cancer left the body. She vomited balls of fiber, baptized with the Holy Ghost. One more. My friend and I, we went to PE. I told you earlier, PE. The pastor said to me, the guest house that he's booked me into, there's nobody in the guest house. He says, this whole weekend. He knows the owners. The owner says, this whole weekend. It's just the pastor. He can pray. He can do whatever he wants to. Mi casa y su casa. All right? But in the airplane, I knew that God is going to show up. And I need to seek Him. And I said to my friend, listen, we're going to pray. But he was afraid to pray with me because he said, there's no ending when you pray. In any case, we got to the guest house. And the pastor said to me, nobody's in the guest house. There's a shop next to the guest house, directly the wall. It splits the two. So in other words, if I'm in the guest house and I'm touching this wall, and the other side, it's the shop. And he said, nobody's in the shop. And I was waiting for this preacher just to leave so that I can pray. I'll never forget this. 7 o'clock in the evening, I started praying. But as I prayed, the presence of God came in immediately. I was on my face down. Got up, 9 o'clock. Presence of God kept me praying. 3 o'clock in the morning, still busy with the Lord. But you know what's the powerful thing about this? The next morning we got to church, people were healed of everything. I promise you, there wasn't a sick person left in that building. The Lord healed everybody. And the pastor said he wants to testify. Took a mic, he said to the church, last night I took him to the guest house and we confirmed that there's nobody in the guest house. He said, but this morning we heard next door, the owner of the shop, he had some difficulty in his relationship with his wife and also in his business. And what he normally does, he goes to the shop and then he will sleep in the shop. He says, and the owner said he went to the shop. We didn't know he was in the shop. He said, as he was sleeping on his little mattress on the floor, he heard a man crying before God. And he says, oh, what is this man on about? Crying this hours of the night. Doesn't believe in the Lord. He says, and the more he tries to close his ears with a pillow, and the more the sound comes through. And he says, this guy just doesn't want to stop. 2:30. I was done 3 o'clock. 2:30. He says the power of God hit him, fell off his mattress, jumped on his feet, repenting, giving his life to Jesus, rushed back to his house, woke his wife up. He said to her, "I'm sorry, I was a terrible husband, forgive me, I found Jesus." He gave her Jesus. He called up all his workers and asked for forgiveness and gave them all a raise. You see, behind the scenes, behind the curtain, there's a man praying, seeking. While you're sleeping, others are seeking. Amen? If we only had a man, you are the man. Come on, say, "I am the man." Say it again, "I am the man." One more time, "I am the man." One more time, "I am the man." I'm trusting God for 24-hour miracles today in your life. Come on, 24-hour miracles. Not next week. We need it right now. A supernatural miracle. Come on, that will come to my household, to my children, to my family members. Come on, I'm speaking to somebody. We don't want to be normal Christians. We want to be extraordinary. Come on, I'm praying over ministries this morning. I trust God that ministries will explode with God's supernatural favor. Come on, we have seen favor. You know, one more thing I promised, then I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I walked past my television the other day, channel 341 on DSTV, Faith Broadcasting Network. It's on. I said to my wife, "I'm going to be on this network soon. I'm going to preach the gospel to the world." We started praying about this. I heard God say to me, "Fly down to East London, where the head office is." I just flew down, got there. I spoke to the owner of the television station, also main preacher of the River Church. And I met him before, so he knew who I was, but we started speaking and somebody ran into the office and he said, "We are just watching this man on the internet." And he said, "Let me see." And he saw some of my sermons and he said, "What do you want?" I said, "I want space on your network." He looked at the computer in front of him where I was preaching on. He looked at me, he said, "Done." Gave me a contract to get on DSTV. I'm on every Saturday morning, 10:30 a.m. The program's name is The Miraculous. I have been on for a while now. They just gave me a new contract. Said, "Please stay on. There's so many people watching your programs. We love God. Come on. We are so thankful that His supernatural power can go through airwaves. Come on, in families. While I'm preaching here, His power is releasing in Johannesburg, in Cape Town. Come on, there's no limit. No limit to it. I pray right now, I want to ask God for 24-hour miracles, that people will get a hunger for God, that you'll become a seeker, not seeker. Listen, when everything means nothing to you, God will give you everything. When nothing of this world, you're not a seeker of this world, we're a seeker of His kingdom. Come on, we're a seeker of Him. We become seekers. Promotion will come, gatekeepers. Come on, lift your hands all over this place. Precious Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are in this place. Thank you for your marvelous presence. In a few minutes from now, His glory is going to fill this place. Holy Spirit, I pray that people will be hungry. You promised me last night that you will not miss anybody that came hungry. You promised me there will be an infilling of your power, of your supernatural presence for those who are hungry and desperate for you. Right now, Lord, I pray for everybody under the sound of my voice that your supernatural power shall flow in Jesus' name. That sickness shall go, fear shall go, sorrow shall be removed in the name of Jesus. Come on, are you ready to receive? Are you hungry? Are you desperate for Him? As every eye is closed, I believe this is my ministry, how it started. Locking myself in a room for hours, for days, seeking, seeking, seeking. I don't want food. I don't want friends, I want Him. carrier of negative news or bad news. I want to be a carrier, a host of His presence. Precious Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you. Can He trust you with His presence? Can He trust you with His power? Son of David, have mercy on me. He wasn't quiet. He cried out, "Thou Son of David, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And he will pass a lot of people to touch you. Reach out in faith, He will touch you. Reach out in faith, He will touch you. Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Holy Spirit, you are here. Come on, the atmosphere just shifted. Have your way in the name of Jesus. Come on, lift your voices in prayer. Come on, lift your voices. Breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Supernatural breakthrough. Come on, religion, they curse it in Jesus' name. We break it off. Familiarity, we cancel it, we bind it in the name of Jesus. True worshippers shall walk out with a fresh touch, a fresh anointing of God's power. Lord, bring your healing power in this place. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, thank you that you are here. Come on, just surrender to Him. Just surrender. When Jesus is more real than the person next to you, He will touch you. When Jesus is more real than your sickness, He will heal you. It's time that we make Him the Alpha again. Listen, God says He will recover all that is lost. The loss that you suffered, all shall be recovered. Receive that word in Jesus' name. Come on, uncommon miracles shall happen. Uncommon miracles. Somebody in this place is waiting for a phone call. You're waiting for your breakthrough. Listen, keep your line open. It's coming now in Jesus' name. The news you've been waiting for is coming now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come, can we stand to our feet? If you're able to. I want to speak to desperate people. Every time when God has released us into a new season, the anointing has shifted marvelously. But before that season came, there was a hunger. And then He fulfills His word to go into a new season. What happens now? A new hunger is being birthed. The biggest problem is when we are starting to lose our hunger. We're not hungry for Him, we're full of ourselves. It's not a day that we can go by without Him. You have to refuse to go anywhere except that His presence will go with you. Make the cry of your heart, I want to be the host of your presence. Me and my house, Joshua 24:15. We and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Not maybe, not if they want to. We shall serve the Lord. Lord, because we make this agreement with you, me and my whole household shall be blessed. We want to make room for your glory. In Jesus' mighty name. Come on, can we lift our hands and close our eyes? It must become more real than what you're facing right now. It must become more real. You must get that revelation. Then you'll see the manifestation. If you're dead, don't ask God to use you more. If you're dead towards Him, no ways you'll receive. Well, no ways that God will use you more. Listen, it's every eye closed. This is what the Spirit of God showed me this morning. Many are called, few are chosen. Many are called to have a marvelous anointing, but pride has stepped in. And because of pride, there's no room for God anymore. What is God going to do? He's going to raise up a new man in your place. You are supposed to be that man. But the hunger left you. Your desperation is long gone. I know the Lord my whole life, but every day there's a greater hunger. A greater hunger. He promises us, those who are hungry and thirsty after righteousness, they shall be filled. Blessed Lord. We worship you. Come on, lift your hands all over this place. Thank you. a woman in this place with the name of Bianca. Bianca. I've got a word for you. You have to get to the front. Don't be shy. Please don't be shy. If you are sick in your body, trust God for your healing right now. In Jesus' name. Many of you in this place, many, will receive a new mantle this morning. Your whole exterior and interior is going to change completely. So when God calls you by name, you have to know that He is interested in your life. So interested in your life. Father, I thank you for Bianca in front of me. You never fail. Lord, I thank you in the name of Jesus that a new season is birthing this morning. The old things has gone. The former things is gone. I believe the greatest move of God is going to touch your life now. The former things that you're facing right now is going to change suddenly. 24 hours from now, God is going to give you the desires of your heart if you just obey His voice right now. Lord, I thank you in the name of Jesus. The whole household shall be changed completely. A whole family, everybody that she's praying for shall be changed completely in the name of Jesus Christ. Are you currently working at a job? There's a change coming. Do you believe what I'm telling you? There's a mighty shift coming in your workplace. A mighty shift is coming to your finances. There's a mighty shift coming to your family. I see family members getting saved in a marvelous way because of your life. Father God, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus that you will give her the desires of her heart. In Jesus' name. It shall happen 24 hours from now, Lord. I release it to her life right now in the name of Jesus. I release a hunger and a seeking, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Precious Holy Ghost, take complete control. This is your carrier. In Jesus' name. You're going to become a carrier and a host of His presence. In the name of Jesus, I've seen the Lord showing me that you've become tired in your walk. Become tired. And the Lord's going to renew your strength in Jesus' name. I want to read you a scripture just before you go. Isaiah chapter 40. The last verse says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Listen, they shall run. And then they shall walk. Run comes before walk. Because the Lord says, there came a season in your life where He was busy walking and you remained behind. But now you're going to run. You're going to run Him in. And when you get by His side, you're going to walk with Him again. As Enoch walked with God, you will walk with Him. In Jesus' name. Father, the greatness that is within her, I pray right now that it shall burst out. In Jesus' mighty name. So I'm decreeing it over you right now. The Lord said there's a shift coming in your workplace. There's a shift coming in your finances. There's a shift coming in your family. Very family issues, there is no more. Gone in Jesus' name. Lord, let it be 24 hours from now. Tomorrow morning shall be a morning of supernatural favor in Jesus' mighty name. Can we give Jesus praise in this morning? Hallelujah. Come on, just lift your hands. Keep your hands lifted. I'm going to be a few more minutes. Lift your hands. Precious Lord, let your glory fall in this place. Sickness and disease shall be gone. There's a skin disorder that the Lord is busy healing. Right now, skin disorder is getting healed in the name of Jesus. High blood pressure, I curse it in the name of Jesus Christ. Sugar diabetes, be gone. Be gone in Jesus' name. Come on. If you have high blood pressure, sugar, diabetes, lay your hands on your heart. By faith, receive your healing right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, there's a blocked ear that the Lord wants to open up. Quickly, get to the front. A blind eye that the Lord wants to restore. Come quickly to the front. I want to pray for you. That sickness is not part of you. Come on, it's not yours. Give it back to the devil where it belongs. There's a blind eye and a deaf ear. Rest of the church, can we go into worship and start to worship the King of Kings?
And all the glory.
How we praise
the Lord.
for 20 years, the whole ear collapsed. I pray today a creative miracle. In Jesus' name. A creative miracle. New eardrums shall be formed. As I'm touching you, the power of God is going through your ear. Deafness be gone. In the name of Jesus. Creation. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Can you hear this? Come on, can we give Jesus praise? Never again. Never again. In the name of Jesus. Come, we can do better than that. Give him praise in this place. What do you trust? And it closed. All right, come closer. In the name of Jesus. There it is. It's opened. In Jesus' name. You can hear me? Yes. You can see it all over your face. Come on, praise him. Praise him. Come on, say, Jesus, you get the glory. Come on. Come on, this eye be restored today after 13 years. Stretch out your hands. Lord, I pray that you'll be more real than this blind eye. In Jesus' name. I promise you get the glory. No more. Blindness, you bound this woman far too long. Whisper the blindness, come out of her right now. In Jesus' name. Loosen, let her go. Y'all need to test her right now. The power of God's all over. Yourself, my precious Lord. Your deafness come out of him. Loosen this man. Let him go right now. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, this morning. It's the morning for his miracle. As I'm touching you, the power of God is going through you. I feel his power going through my hands. Create in the name of Jesus. Open up. Open up. Yes. Come on, can we praise the Lord?